Let's turn tonight to Galatians, the book of Galatians. What a tremendous book, of course, as it deals with the subject that we've been on the last number of weeks, looking at the great gift of God of our redemption in Christ. And thank God that as Galatians reveals the heart of God, aren't you glad that there's a without the law righteousness? Amen. It's by grace that we're saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. We are, the scripture says, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so we see that he's revealed to us that we are justified freely by his grace through faith, and grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we've been seeing that need to preach the gospel to ourselves over and over. If we don't, we're going to get under condemnation. We're going to begin to think that somehow, even in addition to our repentance, when we fall into sin, 1 John says, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? Amen? And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we're not living in faith and we're not walking in the Spirit, if our minds are not renewed, we fall back into that syndrome of trying to work and appease God. And I can't pray properly until I put in so many hours of penance. And after the third hour, now God will hear me. His blood has provided access for us into the Holy of Holies, praise God. The Bible says, come boldly. Amen? And so we realize then that there's the need to remind ourselves every day of the free gift of salvation that Jesus has provided for us, that we are justified by the blood of the Lamb. And so we stand right with God. And when we do sin, the scripture says, confess your sin. He's faithful and just. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how many times does he require us to forgive one another daily? How much? 490 times. If any man sins against you and comes and repents, then what are you supposed to do? Then how well do you think God's infinite love works? Amen. How about that immutable God who doesn't have bad days? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, praise God. Some of us aren't real good at forgiving on our bad days, are we? God doesn't have any bad days. Hallelujah. And so we can come to him and just enjoy his love and his mercy extended to us. And so we said, after we preach this gospel to ourselves and remind us that it's not by our works, it's by his grace and by our faith in the finished work of Jesus. We saw that as that regeneration occurs in our hearts and we become that new man. 2 Corinthians says, old things pass away and all things become new. We become that new creation, praise God. And at the moment that that regeneration occurs, we saw, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, that Jesus then begins to be made to us sanctification. And so we are sanctified at the same moment we are regenerated. We are sanctified at the same moment we are justified. But we realize then that sanctification is a one-time act, but is also an ongoing process as we go from glory to glory. And we realize then that in that process, this sanctification process, in fact, the language, the Greek language tells us, the verbiage there, it's be ye being. It's a continual process of sanctification that's taking place. I don't want to digress too far in review, but remember one of the great truths that we found out is as we're walking in sanctification and we're growing and we're becoming more Christ-like, when you fall, you don't fall this way. You don't fall diagonally back to the start. And now I got to start my regeneration process all over again, my sanctification process all over again. When we do fall and we repent, He raises us back up and we continue from where we left off. And it's a great work of the Lord that takes place. It's one of those great miracles that allows us to renew that fellowship in its entirety. Because when God forgives, God forgets. When God forgives, He casts our sins behind His back. There's no more proof. We don't have to prove ourselves. They're not a proving process. Now, many of us like to put each other on probation. And when somebody sins, we're going to watch them now. Yeah, we forgive you, but we're checking you out. Okay? And so we need to realize then that not only forgiveness, and that word we know, forgiveness, the Greek aphiomi, it means to forgive and forget. Amen? There is no recollection. When that person repents and we see them restored in the Lord, in our eyes, they are absolutely restored and walking in right standing with the Lord and with His body. Praise God. That's an expression of the love of God. That's an expression of a body who's walking in the Spirit, who is spiritually minded, which is what? Life and peace. But to be carnally minded is death. And we keep holding death over each other if we're carnally minded. But remember, beloved, as we're going to see some tonight, love never thinks evil. Amen? And love never fails, praise God. And we were talking in the last session, we diverted some, and we were talking about the need to control our tongues and not get caught up in gossip and busybodiness and all of these different things. And we've all know for sure that we've got a full-time job just taking care of us, don't we? Amen. I know I have. And so I would assume that many of you have a full-time job also. And so we need to pray for one another. Let me just remind you tonight, it just came into my spirit, so I'll go ahead and share it, that just let's remember tonight as we go on, remember to intercede on Nina's behalf. And just that God's love would just absolutely draw her back into His heart and into His body, praise God. And tragic as we see the fall, but though it breaks our hearts, it shouldn't surprise us, because in the last days, many will depart from the faith. We just never think it'll happen to us. None of our homes are immune. Amen? No fellowship is immune. Iniquity is going to abound, and the love of many is going to wax cold in this hour. Let's stir up our hearts, praise God, with a fervency and a love for God and a love for His people. Hallelujah. When everything else is growing cold, let's turn up the fire and believe God. Pray for me. I ask you to pray for me. I've been warring against principalities and powers for a number of weeks and just battling constantly in the spirit realm and just so looking for that refreshing and that presence of God that brings us into that, that liberty in the spirit. And so pray as we're going on that Father would touch my heart and my mind. And as I shared with you, there's no way that we can be presenting the messages that we have in these last weeks and not be under satanic attack. The devil does not want this message out that you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That you are infinitely and eternally loved of God. Amen? That you're beloved children. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, 1 John says, that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And every man that has that hope will purify himself, even as He is pure. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But don't you want to be more like Him today than you were yesterday? See, this whole process of sanctification is just Christ-likeness. It's just becoming more and more in the image of Jesus. Or as the scripture says, we're to walk as He walked. Amen? And so sanctification, it's nothing spooky. It's nothing spiritual. It's just practically walking out the life of Jesus. And we've shared this scores of times. As we look back at Jesus and His ministry, and so much is made of His miracles and the power and these different things. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to understand what He declared about Himself. And He said, I came not to do my will, but the will of He that sent me. Amen? So if you and I are going to be Christ-like, we got to stop doing our will and do the will of He that sent us. And our will might even be things that are not sinful. Things can be secular without being sinful. But everything that is secular is not hallowed. It can't be hallowed or holy or sanctified and be secular. Those terms are diametrically opposed. To be holy, to walk in sanctification, is to be set apart exclusively for God. That doesn't mean we don't operate in the world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we're not. So we don't have to come out and hide in a monastery somewhere. We still go to work. There's a bunch of nasty people at work. There's an absolute nasty, ungodly spirit in every corporation. Because ungodly doesn't mean just vile and profane, and it doesn't mean, you know, that it's lascivious. Unholy or ungodly, excuse me, means to be in opposition to God, to be other than godly or for God. To be a friend of the world is to be at enmity with God, always pushing against God, always denying God. Or as Romans 1 says, you know, that the knowledge of God is within every one of us, but they did not want to retain that knowledge of God. And because of that, He turned them over to reprobate minds. That war every day. And He's saying in 2 Corinthians 7, come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. Stop thinking like the world. Stop loving what the world loves. Don't identify with the world. Don't have their same treasures. It doesn't mean God can't prosper you, but let God prosper you. Amen. Amen? Let the blessings of the Lord overtake you. Don't pursue them. Seek first the kingdom, and He'll add to you whatever He wants you to have. That's prosperity. Doesn't bring headaches with it. Doesn't bring fear with it. It doesn't bring harlotry and covetousness with the world with it. God wants us blessed. We won't all be equally blessed. God is not a socialist. God is sovereign. And He chooses what's best for every one of us. Amen? What God gives you is what's best for you, whether you believe it or not. But I do guarantee you one thing, the devil will always say it's not enough. Amen? Whatever it is, the devil will always remind you, nope, God's holding out on you. Has God said, don't worry about going out into the world. Don't worry about going out and defending yourself and making a little bit for yourself. You won't surely die. Sound familiar? God will understand. God said, if you touch the world, just like that tree, you will die. To be carnally minded is, take it to the bank. And you won't outsmart it. And so we enter into this life of sanctification then as we're pursuing Him. Sanctification is just Christ's likeness. And so we have to start off with this same mentality. I'm not here to do my will. I am not here to do my will. And what I think is best for me. And what I think is best for my family. I am here to do the will of He that sent me. Philippians says it's God that works in us to will and to do His good pleasure. Amen? Well, Jesus went on and He said something else. He said, I've not come to speak my words, but the words of He that sent me. And so as we're interrelating the body, as we're working together, if we're going to exemplify the person of Jesus, then we have to speak His words or His word. Jesus lived His perfect life and spoke all that was edifying by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by His divine nature. Everything Jesus did, from living a perfect life, to destroying death, to destroying the works of the devil, Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen? And everything He did as a man, full of the Holy Ghost. That's exciting. How victorious can we be if we'll let the Holy Spirit work and live in us and sanctify us and live as Jesus lived? Always just the Word of God. What's the Word of God say about this situation? I'm not taken up with what medical science says about this situation. I'm not taken up with what the psychologist says about this situation. I'm not taken up with what the economist says about this situation. I'm not taken up with what the government says about this situation. Let God be true and every man a liar. What does the Word say? And so when we begin to live those kind of lives, everything we do when we get together is just edifying one another with the Word of God. Let me share with you what God spoke to me out of the Word today. Man, I've been having a tough time and I've been wrestling with this in my life. Man, I was there too. And you know what? Don't feel like you're the only guy that's ever been through this and had these doubts and had these fears. I was there too. We're to comfort one another with the same comfort wherewith we've been comforted. Amen? Let me tell you what Scripture's got me through this thing. Let me tell you, praise God, the Word says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You will not be tempted past that you're able. And with every temptation, He makes a way of escape, praise God. Edifying. Speaking the Word of God. And as we saw and ended last session out of Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, praise God. That it might minister grace to the hearers. Oh, hallelujah. And so sanctification is a life that's demonstrated by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that empowers us to live this separate life. And what we see then in the person of Jesus, what the Holy Spirit was working in Him, is what we're to begin to look for in our own lives to encourage us. We're on the course. Things are going in the right direction here. And so as we look here at Galatians, and we see in the fifth chapter here, verse 16, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are a people, verse 13, that have been called unto liberty, praise God. Now use that freedom from your flesh, from your selfishness, from your lust. You're freed from that. And use that liberty to love one another and to serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, say it with me. Thou shalt... So I know that I'm living and walking in the Spirit, that I am spiritually minded, I'm putting on Christ by how much I love my brothers and sisters. So as we analyze our lives on a practical basis, why don't we start this analysis at home? How about your spouse? How's your love lives been going? Have you been patient? Love is... That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is... The fruit of the Spirit is patient, as we see. And it's good and it's gentle and it's meek. You talk to some guy, say, "How's your marriage going?" He says, "Good, man, been bobbing and weaving." It's like the guy was telling his friend one day, he said, "Man," he said, "I put my wife in her place the other day." He said, "I told her, I don't want to see you again until this changes." He said, "How's it going?" He said, "Pretty good." He said, I began to see her yesterday." He said, "My right eye just started opening just a little bit." Kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And as we look at these different aspects, you know, we can jump over and look at 1 Corinthians 13 for just a moment. This, he says, is the law and the commandments, that you love your neighbor. The first and great commandment is what? Love God with all of your heart. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, that great passage on love, and remember where that 13th chapter is located, it's very conspicuously located between 12 and 14. Isn't that interesting? And of course, he's speaking to the Corinthians who were into themselves, and it had to do with the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit within the local church. And everybody, let me just put it in short terms and in a vernacular that we're all familiar with, everybody was in it for themselves. And it was chaos, and it was look at me, and I'm more spiritual than you, and let me show you my gifts. And the Holy Ghost says, wait a minute, guys, this thing is not going to work and please God if all of this does not operate by love. Let me tell you one thing. I don't care what ministries you've been to, what revival meetings you've been to, what conventions you've been to. It doesn't matter what kind of manifestations there are. If love is not the environment, and if love is not the message that's being heralded, it's not the Spirit of God. It's not acceptable to God. And so as he's speaking, and he tells us then that love is patient. So we're talking about loving one another, and we're talking about our spouses, and we're talking about our families, our children. And how vital this patience is needed. You know, one of the things that we have to be patient in, the word patience is speaking of forbearance or forbearing somebody. Some of us have been married a few years. Some that are just starting out newlyweds. And what, oh, so in love, and that person can't do one thing wrong, and you know, we're floating around the apartment like Pepe Le Pew. And then reality comes. And you're living with that person for life. And we get to know one another. And thank God, they love the Lord. Amen? Amen. And thank God, they love you. But reality is, there's things that we're going to have to endure as one another grows in the Spirit. We don't all grow at the same rate. When you get married, though we are one, we don't automatically, instantly have the same conscience. Amen. We find out that we may have cultural differences. One of us might be a redneck. And that is an interesting culture. And so we realize that we have to learn to forbear one another. Amen? Be patient. Can I share one thing with you in a marriage? Stop trying to make the other person like you. You need another perspective. That's why you get a wife, guys. You need a helpmeet. A man on straight testosterone is crazy. All of the estrogen has been taken out of him. And it was taken out of Adam. All that estrogen taken out of Adam and put in Eve. And he needed her. Amen? To give him another perspective, a feminine perspective. Why do you think the devil is trying to destroy gender today? This is not a social problem. This is a spiritual problem. And so when we have two perspectives coming from two dynamics called testosterone and estrogen, and everybody thinks testosterone is the most powerful, but we know that estrogen sticks its head up on a regular basis. and is a force to be contended with. And so we forbear one another. Amen? We're patient with one another. We immediately take on the perspective of realizing this is a separate mindset. They are not opposing me. They're giving me more perspective. And ultimately, men, you're the head of your home, and the decision is ultimately made by you. And as we've taught so many times, and I won't get off on it, and if you teach us out too many places, you'll be hunted down by women's libbers from out from under every rock, dear Lord, and every short-haired social worker hunting you down and not to stereotype. But submission, men, you're an authority. You are not lord of your home. You are a servant representing your Lord Jesus. And you're to love your wife as he loved the church and gave himself for it. And those ladies are not our slaves or our helpmeets. And they are of equal worth and value to the kingdom of God. And they are the weaker vessel, not because they're less intelligent, and nowadays, not because they're physically weaker. Dear Lord, we got women pumping up and men laying on the couch. These women will whip their tails, man. You know, it's like... The weaker vessel is because God demanded that the woman be in a subordinate role. And she is weaker or in a vulnerable place because God placed her there. And you're not to take advantage of that. I don't know why I'm off course right now, but we'll just blame it on the Holy Ghost and see what happens. And whoever Father's speaking to, and to realize then that in that place of subordination, and I'll end this part with this for tonight. Remember, subordination is not acquiescing. Subordination is not to acquiesce and hold on to your same, well, yoke. I'll just, like the little boy, right, that was told to sit down, and you know, of course, little guys say what they're thinking, so the parent finally told him, said, you will sit down, and sat the little guy down. People are afraid of their children today. He sat the little guy down. That's why you outweigh him by 140 pounds, because you can sit him down. And the little guy, being like the flesh is, looked at his dad and he said, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And we got a lot of people that think just sitting down on the outside is adequate. Not so. True biblical submission is not only to acquiesce, but it's to take that decision of those in authority as your own. It's to take that vision now as your own. Those goals become your goals. Just as much or more as if it was what you presented and thought should be done. And until that's the heart condition, we're not submitting. And so those are things that we need to realize. Well, with all of these dynamics in marriage and relationships going on, love is patient. Love forbears. And we see then that it's so important. That forbearing process. Forbearance, I like this definition. You can write it down. Many of you already have it. But for those that don't, it's self-restraint under provocation. Self-restraint under provocation. It's an expression of sobriety, of being able to control your emotions and operate solely off of the wisdom of God having placed you and knowing who you are and who you're representing. Forbearance is the opposite of anger. Forbearance is never quick and never fulfills a spirit of retaliation. Some of us retaliate in our minds. We just hold the grudge. That's still retaliation. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the expression of love that God says we're to have one for another. The fruit of the Spirit, Christ-likeness, he says, and we could spend days on each one of these. We're not going to. We're going to look quickly at a few of these. But he goes on and he says, love is kind. You know, when the world looks in on us, the Bible makes it very clear that we're being watched by the world, aren't we? And the Bible says we're the light of the world. The Bible says we're the salt of the world. We can't take our light or our candle and hide it under a bushel. The Scripture makes it very clear that by this shall all men know that you're Christians. If you have, say it, love one for another. So what does the world see when they look at us? You individually, us as a community. And we were talking the other day about the fact that the majority of the people that would look on us, in fact, the testimony that we hear from people all over that encounter many of you as a fellowship, and man, I've never seen people that love like this, that love one another. You people are strange, man. It's like it's one big family. It is. And we are blessed to have one another. Amen? Thank God. Thank God. And yet we know even within families there's bickering, isn't there? And we were dealing last session with a couple of the things that were taking place in our midst, and the Holy Spirit very clearly shared with us and said, look, this grieves me. We do not want the Holy Spirit exiting this place. Amen? And you sure don't want him exiting this temple. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And what we need to do then to clean those things up, those fleshly expressions, the busybodiness and gossip and all of these things that are so damnable and yet so tolerated in many churches and in Christendom as a whole. And we saw how vile those sins are and that they're in the same list with fornicators and adulterers and murderers. And God says in Proverbs, he hates these things. And he says in Romans and in Galatians and makes it clear in the different aspects that those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's no place. Well, love is kind. Kindness is a very powerful force. The expression of kindness, the giving forth of grace and mercy. That spirit that we're looking for, that spirit of Jesus. You know, the issues that we were dealing with last week and different things. You know, if you're kind to one another, none of that stuff will manifest. We look at the scriptures that's speaking toward these issues of kindness and gentleness and meekness. And we see that kindness really is goodness in action. Kindness is goodness in action. To look for ways to express this spirit of forbearing. To look for opportunities, as the scripture says, to lift up the hands that are hanging down. To comfort the feeble-minded. Amen? This kind spirit. We're talking about a sanctified life. What does it mean to be sanctified? It's not just putting on pharisaical garbs and, as we've used the old phrase and the old adage so many times, you know, thinking that separation from the world is we don't dance and we don't chew and we don't run with girls that do and, you know, and all of those types of feigned holiness. That's not sanctification. Some of those people that don't wear makeup and wear long dresses and have their hair up in knots are some of the most ornery folks I've ever run into. And they're surely not kind to people that don't believe like them. Amen? You can't find long dresses in here, but you can find kindness as the fruit of the Spirit and as the evidence of the love of God dwelling in me. And so how we interact, how we relate to one another. Would you say you're a kind person? Tender and full of compassion? We look at the life of Jesus and the kindness and the gentleness of heart. We'll see it someday, but can you imagine what some of those people experienced? As Jesus looked in their eyes just before he touched them and made them whole. Can you imagine what that woman must have seen in the eyes of Jesus when she said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." When we're bringing sinners the truth of God's word, you can bring the message of damnation and hellfire. With kindness in your heart and in your eyes. And weep over their soul that they would not endure a devil's hell. It was not what was created for mankind. What did he create for us? He said, "I've gone and prepared a place for you." Hallelujah. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will surely come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." "Oh, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you." Kindness. You know, familiarity does breed contempt in the natural realm. So if contempt is showing up, if we're getting short with people and we're getting tired and people are becoming a pain in our neck, can I remind you of something? They've always been a pain in the neck. It's you that's changed. And how kind you are. And how patient you are. And how long-suffering you are. You say, "Pastor, you're saying that they're a pain in the neck?" Yeah, and so are you. And so am I. I'm the chief of pain in the necks. But we love one another, amen? And we don't get worn down by lifting up hands that are hanging down. He's not heavy. He's my brother. Walking in the Spirit. This I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the putting on process that we were talking about last session. Too many of us, we said, are dwelling on the putting off. What do I have to stop doing? What, you know, if I quit going to the mall, and if I quit watching television, and if I quit whatever it is that are weights and sins that do so easily beset us. And though those things are supposed to be put away, and we've spent a lot of time talking about those, the crucial part of sanctification is the putting on of the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? The new man is already created in righteousness and true holiness. What am I saying? If we walk in the Spirit, if we're seeking the things of the Spirit of God, if I'm looking to be servant of all, guess what? I'm not coveting and lusting after everything for myself. So I don't have to worry about putting those things away. I'm already out here as a servant. I'm busy serving people, not myself. And now that thing no longer has power over me, because what we do habitually is who we are. And we'll just keep serving more and more, and it'll become the delight of our hearts. That's this process of walking in the Spirit. That's what it looks like. Making decisions to see these expressions of what love is and what the fruit of the Spirit is working in our life. Making conscious decisions. I know where I lack. How many of you know you're, and I know none of us know totally, none of us know our own hearts. They're deceitful and desperately wicked, and nobody can know them. We don't know our innermost motives. But we know our weaknesses. How many of you are aware of some of the major areas in your life that need to be made more Christ-like? All of us. Conscious decisions to change that. Well, how do I change that? Well, man, I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to fast a little more, and I'm going to get up earlier and pray. No, just choose the fruit of the Spirit that is death to that in you, and start doing that. Just practically choose to do it. Well, I don't feel led. Do it anyway. It's not about being led. It's about obeying. Well, I don't know if I have the faith. It's not about faith. It's about obedience. Put it on the priority list. Make it a habit. Well, I wanted to and I forgot. Put it on your mirror in the morning when you wake up. Some kind of a sign. Put it up there. Remind yourself. Oh, what's a good scripture? Okay. Oh, wretched man that I am. That might be a good scripture. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, yeah. We're going out there again today. Every morning we get up and we slip on our death suit. The old flesh. We're going to haul him out to work. You need to establish a morning ritual. You shave, you brush your teeth, you kill yourself. If any man comes to me, he must deny himself. Amen? Take up this cross. Self, I got my eye on you today. No, you're not slipping up today. I don't have my mind set on those carnal, covetous things today. I'm not going out here today trying to show I'm the big shot in the office and I can outdo everybody else. And I'm going out here to be a servant, and I'm going out here looking for souls to reach for Jesus. And I'm going out here to be kind and long-suffering and gentle and meek and temperate. Get a couple of verses and make them as frontlets, this Old Testament says, right? Put the word as frontlets. Put them on some cards and just all day look at them. Find a little chorus or a song that you can start singing for the day. As you've been warring through these things and you're coming out of an area where God is delivering you from a certain thing, just grab one of those just sweet choruses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all, who healeth all of my diseases, forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. Sing that old hymn, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, His child, and forever I am. Hallelujah. I've shared with you a few times. It happened again just the other day, actually. I thought I was alone. I was walking up through this one segment of trees. I was out for my walk, and I was just singing that old chorus and came into the chorus. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. And I see that this person coming through the trees going. And so I just look at him and go, hallelujah, man. The Lord's good. Make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. These are the practical ways. It's not a spooky thing. It's day by day, decision by decision, developing new habits through obedience that are exhibiting Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight for Your love for us and for the grace that You've shown us. We need to humble ourselves, Lord. We're too full of ourselves. We're too full of secular ambitions. We, like Lot, are being vexed every day out there in this crooked and perverse generation, and we need to wash ourselves with the water of the Word. Find these scriptures. Purify our minds. Deny any place. I don't care if we've been whipped 10 times today over the same issue. Sin does not have dominion over me. I deny that power. I deny that power, any right in my life. I am not looking for failure number 11. I am redeemed. I am justified. I am right before God, and there is no account being held against me. No, you don't have an 11 to owe victory. There's no record of me having ever failed. I'm right now pure and don't ever plan on changing that. Praise God. Faith. We need faith, Father, to let Your word have its full effect in us. And for that, we'll give You all the praise, give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before you go, turn to somebody next to you and say, be holy, for he is holy.